Flowing to Success, Chapter 1, Empathy. Before you read anything in this book, I would like to thank you for opening it. I am honored, even if you did not buy it, you thought to take the time to read even this far. I am confident if you continue to read on, you will find something of value within these pages. Hopefully, you can learn from my experience and from the people I learned from. I know there are parts of this book that will make you smile, not just because you will see how bizarre my sense of humor can be, but because you are excited about utilizing some of the tools given here. So thank you, reader, for joining me on this journey. I am grateful. It is not uncommon to hear people say that they have been in sales for over 30 years. When I begin speaking to people, especially on the telephone, it's not too big of a deal. But then as the conversation continues and they come to realize that I am only 40, they become a bit more puzzled. Sometimes I can't help to wonder if I haven't lost some of my credibility. But the fact is, some of my earliest memories are of going door to door on a Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon selling religious literature. My parents were involved with the religious organization that printed or published this literature. It is this experience that first showed me some of the various reasons people buy things. For example, I'm pretty sure that some people bought these publications because they thought that this curly, red-haired young boy wearing a clip-on tie was kind of cute. While I think some people may have genuinely been interested in the topics of doom disguised as hope that proclaimed themselves from the cover of these magazines, I am quite certain that others simply thought that 10 cents was a small price to pay to get me, and whatever adult was standing back on the sidewalk, away from their doorsteps so they could go on with their worldly ways of sin. It was during this period of my life that I first experienced the anger that people can have toward being offered something they do not want, or the fear in some people's eyes when they open the door of their home to a stranger. I learned the proper way to stand when you knock and how inappropriate it is to look into the living room window, even when the curtains are wide open. I learned the proper way to fold an old back issue of the magazine, never the current ones, into the storm door so that it would be seen by the resident but not a burglar who might be strolling the streets looking for signs that no one was home. I can't really say I have any fond memories of selling the religious literature. However, I can truly say some of the do's and don'ts of what I learned helped me tremendously in my sales career as an adult. The Indianapolis Star, the newspaper I delivered in the wee hours of the morning when I was a teenager, was always having different contests. For me, winning these contests was not about getting more customers, but rather looking through the catalog of stuff I could get if I got a certain amount of new subscribers. The stereo that took me through the first couple of years of college came from this source. Selling subscriptions was easy. Just knock on the door, stand back a little, and wait for the people to come out. I introduced myself and offered the free 2-week subscription to the paper. There was never a time in any of these contests that I was not one of the top performers. Interestingly enough, I never tried to increase the subscriptions too much in my own route because that would have meant getting up earlier. And as it was, the Sunday delivery was almost too much for the weight limits of my bicycle. While the selling of the religious propaganda was similar in many ways to selling newspaper subscriptions, I do not have the same feelings of negativity about the newspaper stuff. I have often pondered this as essentially the same type of door-to-door sales. I wonder if it had less to do with the product than the motivation for me to go out and do it. There were, of course, rejections and successes with both, but with the one, I had a tangible goal that I needed to reach, and the other was, for me, simply endless. There are several lessons to be learned here. One of them is, I believe, we need to be comfortable with the product we are selling. Another is the value of goal setting. Still another is simply being willing to take the time to go out and do it. Obviously, when I was 6 years old, I had no choice, but when I was in high school, it was up to me. I got up at 4 a.m., rolled my papers, delivered them, came home, and got ready for school. When I got home from school, I did my homework, then went out searching for new customers. I never really thought too much about it. I never analyzed what I was doing. It simply seemed like the logical thing to do in order to earn enough contest points to get that stereo I wanted. It has only been through my adult life in sales, after reading countless books on the subject, attending countless seminars, and listening to countless trainers, that I have come to understand that there is more to selling than just wanting to do it and believing in your product. I have seen many salespersons selling many things, and some have a raw, natural talent and charisma for selling. I am baffled, however, at how few of them take the time to really sharpen those talents into a skill that is untouchable by the competition. There will be nothing new in this book. I mean, really, there is nothing new in sales. Everything has been said in one way or another by many people in many ways. However, those of us in the water treatment industry know that there is something slightly different about what we do. It is true that the techniques used may be the same, but for me anyway, it has been a challenge to adapt all those available tools for use in the industry I have come to love. I began to recognize this when I came to work in the industry. I was trying, not very successfully, to eke along as a professional sales and management trainer. As I was a young father and husband, the necessity of finding a job that was a bit more stable and lucrative, not to mention something with insurance, became extreme. Through a series of circumstances, with which I will not bore you with here, I was hired as a sales trainer recruiter for Village and Country Water Treatment. Village and Country was a pretty successful Kinetico dealer in southeast Michigan. During the interview process, my job description was described to me. I was to work with the existing salespeople to help them increase their sales numbers, and I was to hire new salespeople to sell water treatment equipment. The fact I knew absolutely nothing about water treatment, and I barely passed chemistry in college, made little difference to me. I was going to whip this sales team into shape. There would be no slacking. I was going to motivate them to work, work, work. It did not take too long before I started to realize that I was out of my league. Not only did I not have a clue about anything relating to water treatment application or water treatment sales, but I soon learned that these guys did work. One of the members of our team was the number one salesperson in the country 3 years in a row for Kinetico. In addition to him, we had three others in the top 20. They were not taking a lot of advice from a guy who had never done a hardness or iron test. Even as I hired new people, I began to feel really hypocritical. Here I was hiring people to work straight commission, and I was supposed to be training them to do something I myself had never actually done. The thing is, I started really liking this industry, not just for the fact that there was a real future in it, but also because it was something I could sell that would not make me lose sleep at night. I was doing something that could save people serious money, not to mention the health benefits. I felt if I was to be the sales trainer, I needed to know more about the industry than the people I was supposed to be training. I studied and became a certified water specialist with the Water Quality Association, WQA, which, by the way, was the hardest test I have ever taken in my life. I felt I also needed to prove to myself and the salesperson I was supposed to be training that I could sell. I took a few house leads, and I went into the front lines. The only training I had was the videos Kinetico made with the canned presentation given to the perfect husband and wife. I know that many manufacturers put out similar training materials. They show a 4-hour presentation doing everything from shaking soap flask to washing hands. They also completely annihilate any idea that any product other than the one you are supposed to be selling is any good at all. The first appointment I went on was with a doctor from India. Madhu was his name. I was very excited and nervous, but I was ready. I was going to do a great, full, and thorough demo. When I got to the house, I was greeted with a hello, I think. The entire family was very nice. They had just finished supper, and the wife cleared the dishes from the floor as I made my way to the kitchen, which was easy to do as there was no cumbersome furniture to work my way around. I had my Hawk test kit and all the knowledge on how to use it. I had my presentation book with all the great pictures and all the explanations of the hydrologic cycle and why my products were so much better than everyone else's products. After my test, we all sat around on the living room floor, and I tried to build value to a husband and wife that understood very few words of English, while the quite beautiful kids with unpronounceable, by me anyway, names kept turning the pages of my presentation book. I left the home 45 minutes later, without the sale, after giving my price for the recommended system. As I was driving home and trying to overcome my frustration, I began to realize the inadequacy of all the training material out there. The next day, this feeling was reinforced. I had a 6 p.m. appointment with a couple that just wanted a reverse osmosis system. They had a working softener. I, of course, had been programmed to believe that no softener could be working if it was not one of ours. Prior to the appointment, I was determined to sell them both the reverse osmosis system and one of our softeners. I was prevented from this approach by the fact that the customer told me that I had exactly 1 hour to make my presentation. A competitor was scheduled to be at her home at 7 p.m. Oh, and her husband was not going to be able to make it, but she could make the decision on her own. My mind was racing to remember what that long training video said about this situation when I remembered, oh, it didn't. To further complicate the presentation, the competitor showed up a half hour early, interrupting my flow. Fortunately, the customer did send him away, and this may have been a contributing factor to my getting the sale. Given how green I was, I'm not sure it was because of my superior value building. No, I was not prepared for this industry. It did not matter that I had memorized the presentation script or that I was WQA certified. I had never had to deal with a fighting husband and wife. I had never had to explain the chemistry of a softener to someone with a fifth grade education, nor had I ever had to explain it to an engineer with a chemistry degree. I had never had to try to do a sales presentation during a thunderstorm or a blizzard, all the while wondering how my own family was faring late into the evening without me there. I did not know the frustration of losing a sale to the big box stores or the excitement of beating three competitors with lower prices and unscrupulous business practices, but I continued trying to learn. As it turned out, the owner called a sales meeting one day and in front of our entire sales team fired the sales manager that had hired me. My role as sales trainer and recruiter became more of a management role. In fact, the sales manager position was offered to me, but I turned it down due to the fact that there had been many sales managers that had come and gone before the latest one. Our owner liked to have managers, but he did not like them to manage. It is true that my job was something that should have been done by a sales manager for most companies the size of ours. I have often pondered the possibility that I was hired to threaten the position of the sales manager. My job gave the owner an opportunity to say to the sales manager, "If you were doing your job, I would not have had to hire Kelly." One time, I fired one of the salespeople for poor performance and because he consistently did not show up for appointments that were scheduled with prospects. The next day, he came into the office and started getting some literature. I inquired what he was doing, and he told me he had spoken to the owner the previous evening, and the owner had rehired him. Since I had turned down the title of sales manager, I was asked to hire a sales manager. I hired a guy named Danny. Unfortunately for me, Danny was a very intelligent guy. It did not take him long to realize that I was doing the job that he should be doing. While I do not blame Danny for this at all, this created quite a bit of animosity between us. He, after all, was encouraging the owner to eliminate my job. This was quite a problem for me because I had a baby girl waiting to be born any day. Actually, my wife and I had it scheduled, which, by the way, was awesome. I literally had "Have baby" in my planner for Wednesday, February 21st, 2000, 1 p.m. How cool is that? On February 20th, 2000, Danny and I got into a spat and he fired me. It seemed to work for everyone else, so I called the owner and asked for my job back. I told him that if he gave me a territory like all the other salespeople, I would go into sales and I would work straight commission. He agreed, and he instructed Danny to give me a territory. We are going to be discussing protected territories later in the book. If your company does not have them now, I am going to suggest ways that you can persuade your owner or manager to give you one. This was quite a scary conversation to have with my 9-month pregnant wife on the eve of our second child's birth, but I felt confident that I could do this thing called water treatment sales. I had some success in my efforts while I was on salary. I was certified by WQA, which frankly was more than most of my competition. I believed in my product and my company. For all of the qualities our owner lacked as a good manager, he made up for them in terms of taking care of the customer. I was nervous, but I believed I could excel. I called an understandably bitter and resentful Danny, and I asked to meet with him. When we met, he told me our owner had indeed instructed him to give me a territory. He listed 3 townships that I was to be responsible for. I looked at the list, and I knew I was being set up to fail. On the list were Handy, Iosco, and Conway townships. This covered the Fallaville, Michigan area. This was an area people oftentimes referred to as Fallertucky. Some people there barely had indoor plumbing, much less water treatment. Cows don't always drink RO water. I tried to persuade him to give me Osceola and Marion townships as well, but he would not budge. I also discovered that I had reached the end of my benefits with the owner as well, because he would not override Danny's decision on this either. Danny knew I was going to fail. I think this carried a certain amount of satisfaction for him, but Danny did not know something about me that I knew about me. I am not the kind of guy that likes to be set up for failure by someone else. If I am going to fail at something, I want it to be my fault and my fault alone. I went to pull the building permits for my territory. There were about 8 new homes on average being built in my territory each of the last 6 months. I knew if I was going to survive, I had to sell not only a softener, but a reverse osmosis system to every single new house in my area. I also knew I needed to get referrals from every single homeowner I sold to. I refused to fail. I had a goal besides feeding my wife and 2 kids. I was going to still be working there long after Danny was fired. That, by the way, happened 3 months later, and I never sold less than 200 units in any year I was in sales.